Amen. God is so good. Today, my title is Hope in Jesus. Hope in Jesus, and I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. But I was just, you know, it's like anything that we have need of, that you have need of, you don't put your hope in that thing that you have need of. You put your hope in Jesus, and through Jesus, that thing comes. I mean, there's more than this instance, but this chapter is really good about showing you that everything comes through Jesus. Everything was created by Him. Everything exists through Him. So it's like anything that we have need of today, we just put our hope in Him, and that's how it gets fulfilled. So I'm just going to read the whole chapter. So starting with verse 1, Colossians chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. We are writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. May God our Father give you grace and peace. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people, which come from your confident hope for what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. And this is amazing because, you know, this is Paul writing, you know, about 2,000 years ago, talking about the fruit, and that fruit is still producing today, you know. Throughout generation after generation, God's word just constantly is producing fruit. So verse 7, you learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. So, when I read that, I was asking God for that same thing for myself. It's like, man, if you're going through something or you need wisdom about something, just ask God for that spiritual wisdom, you know. It may be something, you know, in the natural that's going on, and maybe you don't quite understand it or you don't know how it's going to come about. Well, just ask God for that spiritual wisdom to show you. Verse 10, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better, which is amazing. It's just like the song, yeah, I can look over my life and I can see, you know, how I've grown in the Lord. And yet there's still a lot more growing than I'm going to do in the time to come. And so that's the thing of the Christian life. We never want to get to that point where you're stagnant. You always want to be growing in the Lord. Verse 11, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. So that's part of this hope, you know. This, again, which it goes right into faith, you know, faith and hope. It's like a lot of times that thing that you may need, it may not come right away, so you just got to be patient and you endure. But then it also says, may you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. So there's this joy, you know, that's that peace. I think about the peace, you know, I imagine two people going through a rough situation and they're both going through the same thing, but one of them has that peace, that joy about them, the other doesn't, you know. He sees that hope in you, you know, you're going through that joy even though you may be going through a difficult time. Okay, verse 13, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased all freedom and forgave all sins. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. So that's that hope that we have in Jesus, that no matter what it is, we hope in Jesus because it all comes through him. So, you know, again, it's like it don't matter what it is that you're going through. It's a healing that you need in your body. If it's financial, you know, a relationship, you just put that hope in Jesus and don't, you know, you expect him to fulfill it because that's sort of what he's doing. He's like, he's up there. He's expecting us, or he's in us. You know, he's expecting us to expect him to fulfill whatever it is that we have need of. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. So there again, that just shows you that because he's first, we should always go to him first. I know we don't always do that, but it's like whenever we're going through something, just always remember to go to God first because he is first and everything comes through him. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God, who were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault or sin. You know, that is that faith, that hope. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, I can remember sins that I did, but God doesn't. And so that's amazing. It's like I can stand before God as holy, not because of me, but because of Jesus in me. So it's like you got to remember that too, you know. Whenever the devil's trying to lie to you, don't listen to his lies. Just tell him where he belongs and just speak to yourself who you are in Christ Jesus. Okay, verse 23. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. So Paul was encouraging the Colossians because he knew, you know, he had very much experience with this. Well, the devil's going to attack. He's going to try to get everybody off course. So don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. And I know in the King James Version it says, part of the verse says, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And so that is part of this hope in Jesus, is that day after day, you know, the devil is going to attack us. And so we have to have that hope in the gospel that even when we do mess up, because we do mess up, that we just stand firm. You know, we tell the devil where he belongs, which is under our feet, and we stand in that hope of Jesus. All right, verse 24. I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles, too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. So Paul understood that it's Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. And of course, that's not only for us, you know, all hope is in Jesus. So that way, when we do go through that things, we have that hope, but it's also for others. You know, like they say, if you know, when you're going through something, or even if you're not, even if you're just going about your day and, you know, you have that joy and that presence of God on you, then people are going to see that. And the hope that you have for Jesus, that people see that hope and that draws them to what's, you know, what is that about you? Why are you so joyful? You know, what's that hope in you? So that's part of that fruit that constantly bears fruit, you know, the fruit that's in my life other people will see that, and then it produces fruit in their life. And that can go with just amongst us, amongst the body of Christ. You know, we come together because we not only come together to learn about God, but we build each other up. You know, somebody may be going through something, and they may need help. You know, they may need prayer. They just may need encouragement. And so that's part of the hope too. So that's all I have for you, is I just encourage you that anything that is that you're going through, you know, you put your hope in Jesus. Don't put your hope in that thing. And you put your hope in Jesus because it says everything was created by him, for him. It all comes through Jesus. Everything does. So that is all I have.
Amen. So I don't know who this is for, but I heard when Michael said, God forgets, that someone here does not believe that. I don't know who it is, but you know in your heart. And I just want to encourage you, the blood of Jesus is more powerful than anything in the universe. Amen. Jesus paid the sacrifice for your sin. Whatever you think is unforgivable or unforgettable, it doesn't matter. Jesus' blood has covered it. You believe it, you receive it. Do not doubt in your heart, says in God's word. When you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, believing in your heart, you shall be saved. Amen. So whoever needed that, let just trust in the Lord, okay? All right, so this sermon series is called Conquering Demonic Spirits. And this is Sermon 7, The Battle with Self. And this is going to be... this is going to be kind of a deep one that we're all dealing with. I was going to start with family warfare, and I really felt like the Lord wanted me to talk about self first. And so I have several different ones that we battle, especially in the body of Christ, issues that the devil attacks us with. And so I'm going to start with this one, and it's just called The Battle with Self. All right, so what you go through in your own heart. All right, so I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through this to verse 17. And I just love how Paul does this, because he also does this in Ephesians. And he basically gives the believer an outline and a thing to stand on for whatever you're going through in life. Amen. So when you're wrestling the things of this world, he shows you this is what you're going to do. So Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead. So if you are saved, if you believe on Jesus Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So that's that position of authority that we talked about last week. Set your mind. And that word set, it means it's an ongoing decision. It doesn't mean that you set your mind today, but then tomorrow you might change your mind. This is an ongoing decision. You set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things. I'm sorry, I'm reading out of the Amplified, by the way. Not on things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. For you died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So verses 1 through 4 are who you are in Christ and the decision in your heart to believe in him no matter what. So this is who you are. You have a new life. You're a new creature in Christ. Amen. So verses 5 through 9, this is what we battle against, each one of us in ourselves. It may be multiple things. It may be one specific thing in our life, but these are things that we're fighting against. So number 1, it's put to death. Verse 5, so put to death and deprive of power the evil longings of your earthly body with its sensual, self-centered instincts, immorality, impurity, sinful passion, evil desire, and greed, which is a kind of idolatry because it replaces your devotion to God. Isn't that incredible? That's why I wanted to read the Amplified, because it really brings this out. It replaces your devotion to God. Anything in your life that is replacing your devotion to God, anything that you put above Him, is an idol. Verse 6, because of these sinful things, the divine wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. So if you are a son of God, you are not a son of disobedience, right? So you're putting yourself away from these things. Those who fail to sons of disobedience are those who fail to listen and who routinely and obstinately disregard God's precepts. And in these sinful things, you also once walked when you were habitually living in them without the knowledge of Christ. So this is before you received Jesus, before you had the knowledge of who He was in your life. Amen. And then verse 8, but now rid yourselves completely of all these things, anger, rage, malice, slander. And before I go on with that, I just want to point out, there is an anger that does not lead to sin. Okay, so if you get angry, sometimes you get angry at a situation, you let it go. You do not let that anger get deeply rooted into your heart where it becomes bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred. That's where anger is not a good thing. Amen. So, but now rid yourselves completely of all these things, anger, rage, malice, slander, and obscene, abusive, filthy, vulgar language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old self with its evil practices. And you know, it's really easy when you lie or even exaggerate. When you do that constantly, it's hard to get out of that. When you're in the habit of that, it is really hard. I know, because I've done it. And sometimes I'm still like, if I've exaggerated something, I have to go back and repent, because I know I don't want to get into that again, you know? And then verse 10. So before we go on, verses 10 to 17 are kind of what you need to hold on to. Okay, so in verses 5 to 9, this is what we are fighting against. Verses 10 through 17 are what you need to hold on to. Okay, so you can highlight the points that really stick out to you, because this is what God is showing you. Individually, whatever stands out to you in this, highlight it, because this is what God wants you to do. Amen. So verse 10, and have put on the new spiritual self, who is being continually renewed in true knowledge in the image of Him who created the new self, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, nor between nations, whether barbarian or Scythian, nor in status, whether slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. So believers are equal in Christ without distinction. And see, this is what sets us apart in the world. It doesn't matter who you are. If you are a believer in Christ, you are in His kingdom. We are all equal in Christ. It's not, well, I've served God longer than you have, so I'm better than you. No, that is not how it is. It's, I've studied the word and longer than you have, so I know more about God, so I'm higher than you are in status. No, we are all equal in Christ. Amen. We're all brothers and sisters united together equally. Amen. All right, so verse 12. So as God's chosen people who are holy, set apart, sanctified for His purpose, and well-beloved by God Himself. That means God loves you. Well-beloved means God cherishes you. You are important to Him. And this is a key point right here. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, which has the power to endure whatever injustice or unpleasantness comes with good temper, right? So that's a key point. Put on a heart of compassion. You cannot love people without the love of God, right? Verse 13, bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgiving each other if one has a cause for complaint against another. So even if you have a cause for complaint, even if that person has done you wrong, you choose to love no matter what. You put up with it. It doesn't mean that you have to hang out with that person and spend all the time in the world with that person. If they're going to continually beat you down, step away from that relationship, but still choose to love and forgive. Amen? Only the love of God can do that, right? So, I'm going to read that verse again. Bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgiving each other if one has a cause for complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so should you forgive. So that's a key point right there. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so should you forgive. Verse 14, beyond all these things, another key point, put on and wrap yourselves in unselfish love, which is the agape love. It means you love people no matter what. Amen. Which is the perfect bond of unity, for everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ, and this is another key point, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts. So just think about it. You can't be in strife. You can't be in anger and rage and slander when the peace of Christ is the controlling factor in your heart, right? You need that peace. It says deciding and settling questions that arise. So if there are any questions in your heart about, God, what is going on? How am I going to handle this? I don't know what the future holds. What is going on in my life? You need that peace of Christ to be the controlling factor in your heart. Amen? To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers. And another key point, and be thankful to God always. Verse 16, this is probably the most important thing. Let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you. If the word of God is not in you, you cannot battle the things of this world. Amen. It is the most powerful thing that we have, the word of God. Let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and mind, permeating every aspect of your being as you teach spiritual things and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Verse 17, whatever you do, no matter what it is in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence on him, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. If it is not in the name of the Lord Jesus, then it is the name of yourself. It means you are doing this in the name of yourself. Amen. So think about that. If you're fighting any of these things from verses 5 to 9, then you need to think about the rest of the chapter and think about what it is that you need to do to fight against each of those things. Amen? Don't just take the word as like, okay, you know, it's just a thing I'm going to read, but use it as a weapon. Amen? It's meant to lead us and guide us and transform us, just like it says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And in the Amplified, Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. Amen. Amen. So when you get delivered, When you come to Jesus and you say, God, I need this to be changed, and you want all of this, these bad things to change in your life, and then they change, but then you're still afflicted, you need to surrender those areas to God. Jesus, you can give it to him, you can ask for deliverance and he'll deliver you, but if you don't actually surrender that thing to the Lord and you still hold on to it, you can get delivered here at church and then you can go home and still have that same issue because you haven't surrendered it to the Lord. You have to make that choice. I can't make that choice for you. When you fully surrender that thing to the Lord that is holding you captive in Colossians 3, if you fully surrender that thing, then the love of God inside of you changes whatever it is that you are being held captive in. Surrender that thing. Amen. Surrender it to the Lord. And then just write this down. Galatians 5:24, it says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And verse 5 in Colossians chapter 3, it says, so put to death and deprive of power the evil longings of your earthly body. That means you have to crucify your flesh daily. Amen. We are to be living sacrifices. And I love how Andrew Womack puts this. You, as a living sacrifice, you get on the altar, and sometimes you get on the altar and you sacrifice yourself, but then you get off the altar and you go do your own thing. And you don't stay there and let your flesh be crucified. You just get on and get off, and you're never really fully delivered of something. It just keeps coming back because you want that satisfaction of change for a little bit, but then you want that thing in your life again. So you come to the Lord and you want deliverance, and then you go back to the world because you want that fun for a season. Amen? And it only lasts for a season. We have a real eternity, and you have a choice. You either go to heaven or hell. It's your choice. Amen? And I will not stand here as a pastor and say that you can get away with everything and think that you won't make it, because I have to answer to the Lord myself. Amen? And I'm not going to tell you that things are okay when in your life you know they're not. Amen? You have to make that choice in yourself. Are you going to serve the Lord or not? Right? You make that right choice. Amen? Okay, so go to Hebrews chapter 12. And then after that, I'm going to read you some things out of this book called Conquer Your Deliverance by John Ramirez. Miss Elaine gave me this book, and I had been studying this, and I really felt like God wanted me to read some of these things out of this book. So after I read Hebrews 12, I'm going to do that. So Hebrews 12, verse 1, and this is also in the... Actually, I'm going to read this in the King James. I'm sorry. Other one. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses or examples of faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Endurance is key in following the Lord Jesus Christ. Endurance is key. If you do not make the choice every day, if you're not set in your mind that you are going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then when you get out into the world and those temptations come, or even in your household, when your family members make you angry, or even in yourself, when you're tempted to do things, you're tempted to be angry and bitter, you're tempted to think evil of others, when those things come, if you don't set it in your mind that you're going to think differently, if you don't set your mind and your affections on things above instead of things below, then what's going to happen is you're going to stop running that race. You're going to, just like Michael said, you're going to become stagnate. You're just going to sit there. Everybody's going to be running past you, and you're going to think, well, why are they on fire for God and I'm not? Why are their lives changing and I'm not? Because you're stuck. You need to keep running. Amen? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And it, what this is meaning is, you haven't been sacrificed on the cross. You haven't gone through that. You think that this is hard enough right now, that this is a hard life to live, and how can you ever make it through? You haven't been crucified on a cross. There is nothing harder than that. Amen? So take control of your flesh. Crucify that daily. Amen? It is nothing like having to be on a cross, right? Verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. And this is really, really important, because a lot of times we think that because we're convicted of sin, that we just don't like that, and we'd rather just be comfortable. Like, God, why can't you just accept me the way that I am? And he does accept you the way that you are, but he also wants to deliver you. He wants you to change. He has set you apart to be holy, and he knows you can't do it on your own. Amen? Verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, right? Doesn't it, like, when the Lord is convicting you, it does not feel good. You just feel like the lowest person sometimes, like, how can I ever change? And it goes on to say, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And this is so awesome, because you know what? We are going to mess up. And there's a verse in the Bible that says there is a sorrow that leads to repentance. And when that sorrow leads to repentance and you repent to the Lord for whatever it is that's in your heart, whatever is wrong, it says the peaceable fruit of righteousness is, it says, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It automatically happens. You receive that peace. Amen. It isn't, and then once you repent, you know, what the devil does is he immediately comes back and he's like, you know, that's just not enough. You know, you're not doing enough. God wants you to be like this and you're not doing enough, so you're going to go to hell anyway. And that's not true. Amen. If you repent, that means you're making a 180 degree turn from whatever that sin was in your life. You are turning away from it. You are repenting. Now you have that peaceable fruit of righteousness in your life. You have to trust that God will meet your needs at that point. Amen. You have to trust that, you know what? I did mess up, but God is my deliverer, and I will surrender to him, and he's going to set me free from all of these things that are coming against me. Amen. You cannot do this on your own. So don't try. Amen. Stop trying to be holy. Just trust that he is holy and he will live through you when you surrender to him. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to read these things from Conquer Your Deliverance. Anybody remember the movie or the TV show Gilligan's Island? Well, I'm going to read this to you because I think this is how, you know, we think a lot of times. You know, we get stuck on that. In the 1960s TV show Gilligan's Island, Skipper and Gilligan and their five passengers sailed off in a charter boat under blue skies in crystal blue waters. No one anticipated the typhoon ahead, the storm that would shipwreck them on an unknown Pacific island and change their lives forever. Each week, the castaways devised a plan to get off the island. Not one worked. And I have a theory that Gilligan sabotaged every week, just so the show could go on. Gilligan's Island is a metaphor for the church at large today. So many believers are stuck on an island and cannot get off because somehow what started as a sunny day, receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the most beautiful thing that can happen to any human being in a lifetime, turned dark. The sun disappeared, the clouds came out, the weather changed, and before they knew it, reality hit. They became shipwrecked on their own islands, just like the castaways, unable to devise a plan of escape. What is the name of your island? Despair, torment, unforgiveness, rejection, molestation, rape, generational curses, witchcraft, infirmity. The list is endless. You find no lasting breakthrough, healing, or deliverance. There are three voices that speak to us: our own voice of reason, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the voice of the devil. Which one has your attention? Conquering your deliverance requires you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, to learn how to maintain the spiritual freedom Jesus purchased for you on the cross. Now is the time to accept that gift and use your weapons, the power of the Holy Spirit, declarations and decrees partnered with targeted prayers, and the faith deposited in your own heart. This threefold combination, a God-given strategy, is His plan to set you free once and for all. It is time to get off the island. Amen. So I'm going to read another part of this. It says, he wrote, it's called The Face of God. In Numbers 6:25, we read these astounding words: may the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And that is really powerful, you know, because God loves you. You know, just like we were singing that song earlier, and it was just like that very first part of Walk With You, where He's watching you when you're sleeping and He can't wait for you to get up. He's watching you. That's what we do to our children. When they're sleeping, it's so beautiful and precious, you know, and it's just, when you watch them wake up, it's just the cutest thing. You know, just love those moments. God looks at us like that. Amen. He looks at us. He loves us deeply, affectionately. We are His children. Amen. I believe that most of us in the church have the right intentions, but we have let the devil sidetrack us, because while we may be seeking God's way, we are not seeking His face. We will never get off the island because instead of seeking Him, we have created a religion with a new age Jesus, a powerless Jesus. Isn't that scary? 2 Corinthians 11:4 says, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. Conquering your deliverance means maintaining the opportunity of spiritual freedom that our Lord Jesus Christ paid for in full. He has given us something priceless. It is like walking into a classroom and sitting down and hearing the teacher or professor tell you on the first day, I'm going to give you an A. In other words, the day you say yes to Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior, He gives you an A. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and in partnership with Him, our job is to maintain that A. We need to stick close to what Jesus says. Amen. This is what you call conquering your deliverance. If your A has decreased to a B, a C, a D, or an F, it is time to get back to the will of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you struggle with generational curses or besetting sins, things you think have gone away but keep coming back, or gateways and portals you have opened, giving the enemy of your soul legal rights to your A, it is time to get off Gilligan's Island. We are going to come into agreement and declare and decree these powerful prayers in the power of the Holy Spirit and with the faith that our Lord Jesus Christ has already deposited in our hearts. When we are going to mix these together and we will be set free. Amen? Amen. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me. I decree right now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, devil, I put you on notice that the Pharaoh I see today in your army of demons, I will see no more. I am seated with Jesus Christ in the third heaven. And I am attacking you, devil, from my place of authority over the spiritual realm and the kingdom of darkness. The Lord has made me armed and dangerous through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Isn't that awesome? Okay, I just have one more part. This is one of the things that we hear and we go through, and we need to conquer. Amen? Who is occupying your mind? Think about it. What do you think about more than anything else? You know, last week when I told you guys to write whatever down that was bothering you, I bet you that thing is something you think about all the time, right? If it's something that has affected your life, then it is probably something that weighs heavily on your mind. So what is occupying your mind? Stop and ask yourself this question and be honest with your answer. Let's do a head checkup. Some of the devil's tools are stress, aggravation, worry, fear, discouragement, anger, low self-esteem, and rebellion. These satanic arrows will make you physically sick because now your mind is sick. Lay your hands on your head right now and repeat after me. And I can't do that because I'm holding a mic in the book. Lay your hands on your heads and repeat after me. Lord, give me a new mind. A new mind means a new perspective and new thinking. Give me a new way of looking at things. Jesus, give me a new way so I can see you and see a new way out of my situation. Lord, get my mind ready because I am coming out of my rough areas of thinking and reasoning. Amen. My brother and sister, you are going to make it, and you are going to be armed and dangerous. Close the door in the devil's face and on the spiritual damages. The word of the Lord says that the engrafted word of God heals the mind. The word of the Lord says it is with the mind that we serve him. Speak this over your life now so you can receive God's opportunities. Put the devil on notice and destroy all spiritual damage that has been done to your life. And Romans 12:2 in the NIV says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Trust God always in the battle. Whatever your challenges and struggles might be, the word of the Lord says, I can do this through him who gives me strength, or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me share one last thought with you before we close this chapter. If you do not beat the devil in your mind, you will never beat him in the battlefield of your life. We have been trying to beat the devil in the battlefield when he has already incarcerated our minds and thoughts. It is time to reverse the tables and beat him in your mind, as he is already defeated in the battlefield. Say this last thing with me. And just repeat it after me. I am not wasting another moment.
I am not wasting another moment.
Another opportunity that God gives me.
Another opportunity that God gives me.
And I am not wasting another year of my life. I will rise up from the spiritual damages. Once and for all in Jesus' mighty precious name. Amen. So when you feel like you are going through this life and it just seems like whatever you are going through is just not changing, that you have gotten delivered from it and you just feel like you just want to keep going back to it. Like you're just, it's never going to change. You're never going to conquer this thing. It is time to conquer it. Amen. It is time to stand in faith. This battle with self doesn't mean that you fight it with yourself. Amen. You have to fight it with your spirit. That's why in that verse it says the spirit and the flesh are constantly going back and forth, constantly fighting with each other. Take authority over yourself with your spirit. Amen. Whenever I'm fasting and my body is like just in rebellion and doesn't want to fast, I tell my body, you come under the subjection of my spirit. I will complete this fast in the name of Jesus Christ. My strength comes from the name of Jesus Christ. I believe in that name. No, I can't do this on my own, but I can do it in the power of Jesus Christ. So you have to make that choice. When you're going through things, you have to tell your body. When your body is tempted with things, when your body is sick, you speak to your body life and health and wisdom and knowledge of the word. Amen. Speak to yourself. Amen. It's not weird to talk to yourself when you are speaking the word of God. Amen. All right, so you can go ahead and stand. We will pray. If you need prayer, always remember that we can pray for you anytime. We can pray for you here. We can pray for you on the phone, whatever you're comfortable with, because we want you to be delivered. Amen. We want you to surrender your lives to Jesus. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Jesus, that our hope is in you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would touch every heart of every person in this place. I ask that you would fill them with your love completely so that they would recognize and have a revelation of how much you love them. The supreme ruler of the universe loves and cares about each and every person in this room. In Jesus' name, God, we surrender our lives to you. In Jesus' name, God, if there is anything in us that is against you, we ask that you would forgive us. And God, we yield ourselves to you, Father God, so that we can walk in the peaceable fruit of righteousness. We thank you for that, God. And I just speak blessings over each and every person in this place. Blessings of finances and healing and revelation and knowledge in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, blessings of direction and wisdom in whatever you accomplish your hands to, that it prospers. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, you are dismissed. Amen.